At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Well met, fellow adventurers. We are once again back with Sir Croakington, and we are continuing Proving Ground 6. The scenario we're now doing will be a funeral in the hills. Huge funeral? We shall see soon. Begin. At the conclusion of the previous part, Al is silent for most of the trek as you make your way across the backs of the rolling hills, heading ever to the east and south, back towards Bear Path Lodge. The unmistakable and welcoming aroma of wood smoke assails your senses as you start up a particularly steep slope. You immediately realise Bear Path Lodge must be just over the back of the Wise, and the thought of a warm meal and a good night's sleep reinvigorates for you for you and your legs. Help will be one last climb. As Owl moves swiftly to the top of the hill and stands staring off to the south, his white hand suddenly jerks back in your direction and he hurriedly motions for you to join him. Only moments later, you reach the crown of the hill and stand shoulder to shoulder with your silent companion. Your jaw goes slack and your heart pounds savagely in the pit of your chest. A thick blanket of dark smoke hangs low across the shallow vale at the base of the hill. Bear Path Lodge burns. And now? It is on the north side of the burning lodge, a safe distance from the Deli Inferno, standing at the foot of a boulder-strewn slope. The Jew and Owl find Olin and a dozen of his huntsmen. Whew! The master of Bear Path Lodge greets your arrival with a grim nod. You can plainly see he is stricken with grief, even though his fierce eyes are ablaze with hatred. Miriel is gone. The children are safe. Is all he manages, and Al strides up and places his hand on the shoulder of his old friend. It's been burning since midday. Not far off, though situated at a high elevation on the hillside, sits Orland's seven children, in the company of a grey-haired woodsman. Three of the children weep openly, their loud sobs rising into the air and momentarily displacing the roar and crackle of the crimson flames that continue to devour the Great Hall. The very flames that have forever separated them from their beloved mother. Oh, darn. Your thoughts immediately turn to two recent events that have been painfully seared into your memory. The fiery destruction of the Sarnhal Howl off Shrine Isle and the razing of the Wanger outpost. To these horrid recollections, you reluctantly add the burning of Bear Path Lodge. Whew. I really should stop visiting people. Al strolls off with Orlum, leaving you alone with the 12 huntsmen who stand in silence, watching its relentless flame consume what remains of the Grand Lodge. The Master Thief returns a few minutes later and takes your side. You're surprised when Al produces the leather-bound journal you left with Olin and hands it back to you. He tells you that one of the lodge's woodsmen returned with it this morning. Olin was on a hunt when he heard the explosions as Al. His children with the nearby hills. We can at least be thankful for that. Dear Muir and at least a dozen others weren't so fortunate. Fire and death seem to have followed us south, Sir Quokington. We can no longer endanger those who would give us aid, even if they are Confederates in our cause. We will operate from a place where these fiends are less likely to strike out with such destructive measure. Al tells you, the two of you must now make your way into Cardston with all possible haste. He says he believes the agents of the Grand Century will be unable to employ such devastating tactics behind the city walls. Honestly, I wouldn't put it past them. We'll put it past them, blow up their own stuff and then blame the wabble on it. You ask Owl if he thinks the two sorceresses you previously encountered, Timothea and Humlea, Miles referred to as the Witches of Cardston, were responsible for the deadly attack on the lodge. It's possible, though not likely, he says confidently. The Grand Sentry is cautious when it comes to the use of his more powerful agents so close to the city walled by his dark magic. You must realise, Sir Quokington, that on the streets of Cardston, streets long poisoned by his insidious spells, the Grand Sentry is seen as nothing less than a divine, noble and benevolent ruler. A man to whom all of Cardston rightfully owes its unfettering allegiance. Within the walls of his domain, the measures taken against us will be less drastic and will endanger fewer souls. It's at least upon that notion I rest my last hopes. Owl turns and glances at the direction of Orlan, as if to determine whether or not his next words will be overheard. Then speaks to you again, this time in a softer tone, causing you to step closer to be able to hear him over the roar of the nearby blaze. Orlan will take his huntsmen into the hills, he says. Orlan is at the very heart of our cause. And while we will mourn the loss of our dear mule, if anything should happen to him, our back would be all but broken. He must see to the safety of his children, before all else, of course. Don't think, even for a moment, that their presence in the lodge would have deterred what happened here. It's by mere unfavourable luck that they were all yet accounted for. A ghastly, fearsome shriek suddenly rings out from the east, rising above the crackle and roar of the raging inferno. It's a sound that immediately fills you with profound dread. Instinctively, you turn and rush off in the direction of the fearful cry, following closely at the heels of Al. Olin retreats up the slope towards his children, while 10 of the 12 huntsmen at his side rush towards the eastern side of the blaze. As you reach the eastern edge of the burning lodge, your eyes are greeted by a sinister sight. There, emerging from the walls of the flames that continue to devour the great hall, and stalking towards two of Orlan's huntsmen, are 7 towering beings of flame. The blazing fire elementals, roughly humanoid in appearance, but the twice the size of any man or woman present, and many times the size of any toad present, like Sir Quokington, move forward with long, even strides, their blazing limbs poised to strike down their intended prey. You pull your gaze away from the fearsome elementals and turn to gorge Owl's reaction, only to discover, much surprised, the Master Thief is now nowhere to be found. You're about to rush ahead and bolster the defensive line being formed by the gathering huntsmen when a wave of intense heat suddenly washes over you. You turn immediately to your right and find yourself almost face to face with one of the mighty beings of fire. Well, at least one of them's focusing on me. Which is for the best for everyone else, at least, because Sir Croakington is much tougher than the rest of them. Well, probably. The elemental thrusts out his arms and sends a massive bolt of crimson flame hurtling through the air towards your chest. So, I have some options now. I can use fortification, elementalism, or just dodge. Random.org gave me a 1, so fortification. It succeeded. 24 experience to fortification. You hastily channel your power of fortification, and with only a split second to spare, a wall of shimmering blue sparkles appears before you. The hurtling bolt of flame smashes into your magical barrier, exploding upon impact and showering you with thousands of small glowing cinders. Despite the ringing in your ears caused by the explosion and several singed spots on your exposed flesh, you're thankful to have survived the deadly attack relatively unscathed. You quickly draw yourself into defensive stance as you prepare to make a stand against the advancing elemental. The towering fire elemental, its hulking form vaguely humanoid, noiselessly stretches wide its broad jaws, revealing an inky void hidden within the blazing exterior. Shadow magic, perhaps? As the fire that consumes and surrounds the mighty being increases in intensity, or maybe it's a gate to where they keep all the fuel. The elemental surges forward, bringing you to bear its full measure of its fiery wrath against you. It's a blazing fire elemental. Like most fights, it's a 3+, but only because Sir Croakington is way more powerful than anyone could possibly be when this was released. That's just how it works in long-running RPGs. The fearsome fire elemental blazes brightly as it strikes out against you. I go into a battle rage. Hey! Stop leaving children homeless and all that! And slain. 40 XP. With the final roaring blaze and several intense waves of heat, the mighty fire elemental rapidly dissipates, leaving only a smouldering pile of black embers on the ground before you. Before you even had a chance to catch your breath, a column of crimson flame suddenly shoots up from the heaps of embers and swiftly assumes the form of the fallen elemental. Hey! Stay dead! The reborn fire elemental, larger than its previous incarnation, surges forward and attacks. It's another blazing fire elemental. Blazes brightly as it strikes. After you engulfed by the flames of your enemy's attack, this is the second time, it's 15 damage. Keep going, gulf flames for 16 and then 27 damage and then 23 damage, but it is slain. 72 XP. As before, the raging fire elemental, at last sent down to defeat, suddenly vanishes, leaving behind only a smouldering pile of blackened embers. This time, however, you stand at the ready, prepared to face the mighty elemental being should it once again revive itself. Your vigilance proves warranted. With a brilliant flare of crimson flame, an intense wave of heat that forces you to cover your face, a roaring blaze shoots up from the embers and swiftly takes the form of the fallen elemental. This incarnation of the fiery foe is even larger and more fierce than either of its predecessors. And let's just call that beeping a fire alarm. Begin combat. That in-universe fire alarm. There's no fire actually happening near where the person behind the mic is. Don't worry about that. Begin combat. The fearsome fire elemental blazes brightly and strikes out at you. Keeps going, keep going. Engulfed by the flames. Engulfed by the flames a couple more times. 22 damage. 19 damage. 26 damage. Slain. 136 XP. And also I can take this opportunity to finally heal up. As twice before, the waging fire elemental vanishes, leaving its wake a smouldering pile of charred embers. This time, however, the fearsome being of fire does not return. Elated to have at last won the battle against the mighty elemental, you turn and rush to the aid of the three huntsmen locked in battle for their lives against two of the powerful creatures. As you draw up behind the blazing elementals, the closest of them turns and stretches its hand towards you. You dive to the right, desperately attempting to flow yourself out of the path of the blast of fire about to erupt from the flame-weaved hand of the towering elemental. Suddenly, however, much to surprise and relief, the elemental vanishes, leaving over only a thick trail, dark smoke and a pile of ash in its wake. Standing behind the column of smoke, his face darkened with soot, his hair smouldering, is Owl. The woe rushes to your side and helps you regain your feet. "We're even for that last rescue you pulled off," he says, managing a wry grin. "Come on then, let's get on them." With that, Owl bounds off towards the advancing pair of fearsome fire elementals, leaving you to face yet another of the mighty beings. With your heart pounding and the roar of the nearby inferno drowning out the sounds of battle that wage on all sides, you prepare to engage your deadly foe. So that's two of the blazing fire elementals down. I don't know, did he kill it proper? Not sure. Alright, blazing fire elemental anyway. The fearsome fire elemental blazes brightly as it strikes out at you. I go into a battle wage. "Hey, stay dead this time, pretty please." And all that, slain. 136 XP. You leap back from the pile of embers smouldering at your feet, expecting this fire elemental to rise out of ashes. When it doesn't, you breathe a sigh of relief and turn to the south when you witness a sight that makes your blood run cold. Without fighting alone, while wildly waving a hefty axe at three fire elementals, is Orlan, the master of Bearpath Lodge, cries out in alarm as his blazing foes close in around him, cutting off any hope of escape as they sear his flesh with intense radiating heat. You rush forward, shouting above the roar of the burning lodge, hoping you can at least draw the attention of one or more of his merciless assailants. As you close to within 10 yards of Orlan, one of the elementals surrounding him turns and starts towards you. Okay, well that's a good thing. You scream for Orlan to flee. Is that precise moment you spot Owl moving in his direction. The towering fire elemental surges forward. Did Owl already deal with the two elementals he was fighting? I don't know, he's really good, so he might have. The towering fire elemental surges forward, its long, winnowy arms of flame outstretched as it begins its savage assault upon you. Blazing fire elemental once again. Fighting it, engulfed by the flame, 20 damage. Then 20, then 17, then 20 again. 23, then 20 damage, 23 damage, 23 damage. Very damaging specials in this one. 136 XP. You leap over the pile of smouldering ash left behind by the vanquished fire elemental, not bothering to wait and see if the creature will again rise. You quickly scan the fray for any sign of Orlan, but fail to catch sight of him. With all possible haste, you dash towards the sound of Owl's frantic cries, bravely throwing yourself into the path of the elemental surging towards his left flank. It's a blazing fire elemental. Begin combat. The fearsome fire elemental blazes brightly as it strikes out at you. Keep going, keep going, keep going. Engulfed by the flame for 19 damage. Keep going, keep going. 27 damage from the flames. And now go into battle rage. Hey! Leave my friend alone and all that. It is slain. 36 XP. As a defeated fire elemental vanishes before your eyes, leaving only a column of plungent smoke in its wake, you suddenly become aware of Owl's desperate, repeated cries. Get Orlan! Get him out of here! Sir Croakington! Get Orlan! Then you notice Orlan on the ground, and a few yards to your left, his face and torso charred, and his limbs twitching erratically, lies the master of Bearpath Lodge. You rush to Orlan's side, and are stunned to discover his eyes are wide open. He looks up at you in a mix of pain and horror. Distorting his face, speaks in a hurried, raggy voice. Oh, my children! I love them! He says, wincing as he attempts to force a smile. See, they are safe. See, they go away from here. I can see. Mural. His eyes roll back and his body goes limp. You quickly shoot your hands under his arms and drag his bulky body away from the burning lodge. As quickly as it began, the battle with the fire elementals reaches an abrupt end. You turn to find Owl and five of the surrounding huntsmen making their way towards you. Their gloom-laden stares fixed on the charred, still body. All align their feet. You step back to allow those closest to him to gather around the fallen leader. Owl kneels at Orland's side and does his best to fold the arms of his departed friend across his broad chest. I will tell the children, says Owl, as he returns to his feet and looks over his shoulder at the burning lodge. I will tell them. A thunderous crash startles everyone present as one of the lodge's main beams topples into the inferno that has now all but consumed the grand structure. This madness doesn't end with the dead destruction of their enemies, says Owl, his lips curling into a snarl as he speaks to you in a low tone. The devils we're faced with wield fear as effectively as they raise fire. There's never an end to the misery. Together with the huntsmen that survived the brutal engagement, you scour the perimeter of the burning lodge, seeking any sign of more of the foul creatures that sprang out of the wild inferno. At last, satisfied there is no further imminent danger, you return to where Owl is preparing to move Orland's blackened remains. Tend to the children, he snaps. Two of the huntsmen standing at his side. There, not to see any of this. There'll be a chance soon enough. Move everyone away from the lodge. Your companion turns his wary gaze to you as he places his hand beneath Orlan's shoulder. Sir Croakington, if you could just take hold of his feet. Now, I have to use a little bit of telekinesis for that. Because, you know, Sir Croakington is very small. And, yeah, big, could do that, but wouldn't get... Certain subtlety of movement, though, is lost with that. For a few words are spoken. As Lauren, Orlan, Master of Bearpath Lodge, husband of the departed Muir, and father of seven children that will never again know his firm, guiding hand and gentle, refined manner is laid to rest. It's been nearly 2 hours since he fell in battle. Thin wisps of smoke from the smouldering remains of the lodge drift across the crest of the hill, and your eyes turn to the children, who stare down at the grave of a man that always believed to be beyond the reach of something as cruel, vulgar, and final as death. Al drops to one knee at the edge of the grave and weeps openly. Four of Orland's children, including his two oldest, step up. Step up to a companion's side. The master thief stretches out his long, thin arms to corral them. At length, Al rises, and together with the children he still embraces, slowly steps away from the grave. Without looking back, he makes his way over to the far side of the summit. One of the huntsmen approaches and quietly asks if you'll hope to cover the grave. It's a grim, daunting task, given the circumstances, but one you proudly accept. Standing on the southern edge of the hill that bears the heap of freshly turned earth that serves to mark the grave of Orland, you stare out west across the backs of the neighbouring slopes to where a dense cloud of dusty, dark smoke still hangs in the dusty sky. It's been nearly 3 hours since the master of Bear Path Lodge was laid to rest, and apart from a few words muttered to you now and then, Al has spent almost every moment amongst the seven children who find themselves orphaned at the end of a day that began as any other in their young memories. It is settled. They'll go north tomorrow, three of Orland's men, says Al, suddenly appearing at your side. Orland often mentioned his sister somewhere south of Seer in Fainvale. One of the huntsmen thinks he knows the name of the town. There's nothing for these children here now. Everything they've known is gone. Much of what hope we have left goes up with that smoke. You and I must leave here tonight, as soon as darkness falls. Al tells you that your next destination is Cardson, where you and he will last reunite with what remains of the Wabble. Before you can even ask the question that's foremost on your mind, your companion answers it, telling you that getting to the city undetected should pose no difficulty. There's more than one way into Cardson, he says, and I can think of three straight away that will prove less perilous than trying to stride through the city gates. Let's just hope that we find at least one of those paths still friendly. Well, considering he's both a rebel and a thief, knowing secret entrances into places is kind of his thing. Especially the places presumably... I'm not sure if he's born in Cardson. Wait, does it say? Well, I'm going to have to check the law. Okay, the law book doesn't say where the owl is from. So the owl could be from Cardson. He's definitely spent a long time there. And has spent a long time with other people who have spent a long time there. And had to go into all the little nooks and crannies, if only because that's the only places where they wouldn't get burnt as much.
At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah. So, yeah, him knowing secret passages, perfect, makes perfect sense. And so it is, under the cover of darkness, shortly after night has draped its cloak of gloom over the hills south of Maeltar, that you and Owl depart from the company of huntsmen and their seven sleeping charges. You head due south, moving unseen beneath a moonless sky, stretching between and climbing over the hills long hunted and watched over by Lorlan. It isn't until the first hint of dawn appears on the horizon. The hills give way to a broad and lush arm of forest. Owl seems pleased to catch sight of the wood and tells you you're drawing near to one of the hidden paths he hopes will provide you with a safe passage into Cardson. While pausing on the side of the grassy slope to take a moment to rest your tired limbs, you find your thoughts drawn elsewhere. For a few fleeting seconds, the shadowy hills that surround you give way to stone turrets and the dim early morning sky is painted over black and dotted with thousands of shimmering stars. Standing before you at arm's length is Atherwok, his face bearing a drawn, wary look that betrays both deep anguish and long-standing fear. The huntsman opens his arms and turns to you. Before he can utter a word, you're shaken back to the present by three distant but startling blasts of a great horn. Owl turns and nods in recognition of the puzzled look you cast in his direction. "There's about to be a hanging in Cardson," he says. And that finishes this scenario with 3,072 experience to general and 256 experience to all skills and powers, which is pretty nice, I guess. Alright. Next up is a path left travelled. Now, we've only just passed half an hour, so you know what? I'll do it. If it goes over an hour, so be it. Begin the scenario. There's the conclusion of the previous part. We've just read that, so we don't have to read it again. Please continue. Morning soars into the sky, chasing away the lingering gloom of night, revealing a landscape enveloped in the grasp of a thick, swirling fog. Pressing through the whirling banks of mist, you and Owl make your way down into the forest, crawls over and all around the hills east of Cardson. I don't know why they would let forests be so near to their city. I mean, you can't. I mean, you have low farmland, you don't have clear line of sight from the city walls to, you know, deal with anyone who comes there. I mean, you could hide some undermining trenches in that forest. Who knows what else? Owl said little about the hanging he made mention of at the sound of the horn blasts a short while ago. And when you ask about it, he seems reluctant to even acknowledge the question. At last, however, after you repeated it twice, he tells you it's common practice for the agents of the Grand Sentry to hang their foes in the square before the council chambers, the very structure from which Cardson's sorcerer lord wanes. It is mostly the rabble that find themselves at the end of those ropes, he says, as the two of you climb over the trunk of the troppled tree. There was a time when we didn't know everyone who was caught and hung. There were enough of us then. Now it's as certain that I'll have known those who die in the noose. After all, only a handful of what was once a grand resistance remains. Owl tells you that at this very moment an important ally, perhaps the last and most important friend the rabble will ever know, is travelling to Cardson and should arrive within the next few days. He's certain to be our last chance for making use of the journals, he says. When we reach our destination, Sir Grogington, I promise that all will be made clear to you. There will be no more need for secrecy. and you will find ourselves at the very heart of the matter that draws us all here, that binds us together in the last desperate throes of hope. Suddenly, the Master Thief stops and looks to his left, taking note of a pile of sizable rocks. Then he points south and west, levelling his extended finger at a more open patch of ground amidst a tangle of trees and undergrowth. "Right over there," he says. "That's where we'll find our way into the city. Come on, I'll show it to you." The edge of the boggy clearing, tucked in among several large rocks and rotting trunks of two felled forest giants, is a heavy iron grate set into the ground. The grate, covered by a thick blanket of moss and earth, would have easily escaped your notice had Owl not pointed it out to you. "One of the three entrances into the ancient tunnels that run into the city," he says, as he carefully removes the living camouflage from atop the grate. "These tunnels were used to escape sieges in centuries past, and though they've been sealed off now for the better part of 200 years, this one particular opening, however, has once again been put to use. You hope I will clear away the rest of the moss and earth, and together you manage to move the heavy grate to the side, allowing just enough room for the two of you to climb down into the dark stone-lined tunnel below. After hoping Owl move the grate back into place, you drop into a stone-lined tunnel and stand next to the Master Thief, staring off into the gloom of the broad passage. You marvel at the workmanship that went into constructing the tunnel, and Fu Owl tells you that in many places the corridors are in disrepair. "We'll be all right if I can remember the way through this," mate, says Owl, smirking. "Which I will tell you, Sir Crockington, I can. We're looking for a large dome chamber. It's filled with water, but from there we'll take a rather unconventional route up and into the city. There are several miles to cover, so we'd best be on our way. With your trusty light source casting its glow off the mold-covered walls, you and Owl set off through the tunnel. For the better part of 3 hours, you and Owl carefully wind your way through a tangled maze of passages. Owl makes frequent turns and more than once doubles back on your tracks and steps off in a completely new direction. The perils of the tunnels to which you trek are now numerous and deadly. Now and again, the two of you skirt by wide, dark pools of water, which Owl tells you have no favourable bottom, which are by no means devoid of dangerous lurking denizens. At last, the corridors become somewhat drier, and the going gets easier. As you turn into the broad, sloping passage, a soft, distant, and unsettling sound reaches your ears. It's the faint but unmistakable sound of something moving in some far-off passage. Before you can even relate to what you heard, he turns to face you and nods. "I've heard it twice before now," he says, a faint smile appearing on his lips. "We're not alone down here. It's on that I stake my life. It's hard to tell whether or not whoever is knows we're here, though. You ask Owl if the sound could be that of allies, perhaps members of the Wabble, as he previously indicated they make frequent use of the passage. Friends of ours would have revealed themselves by now," he says. "They would know better than to come slinking up on us." For several minutes, the two of you stand motionless, listening intently for even the slightest sound anywhere in the dark, lonely tunnels that surround you. "All right, just keep on," says Owl at last. "I need not say it, but be watchful." As you continue through the maze of twisting passages, following Owl's expert lead as he navigates the corridors from memory, the Master Thief tells you he's glad to have made your acquaintance, and that without your help, his mission would have long ago ended in ruin. Now, I think if this scenario had been in a regular game, it would be really annoying, because it would be an escort quest, because he has to go first because he knows the way. And probably so have things to do, every few minutes something would attack him. And you'd have to defend him. And he wouldn't be good at doing that himself. And you'd probably fail a lot, and it'd be very frustrating. But here you just go. And then it happened. You did that because you're competent. You could manage it. His sudden admission catches you off guard. But you soon... As he navigates the corridors from memory. The Master Thief tells you he's glad to have made your acquaintance. And without your help, this mission would have long ago ended in ruin. His sudden admission catches you off guard. But you soon learn your companion holds you in high regard and apologises for the secrecy that's thus far surrounded many of the details of the perilous quest in which you played no small role. In a different time, under different circumstances, I rather think I might fancy going with you on one of your adventures, he says. Of course, such things aren't really my nature. Seems a bit silly, I suppose. I managed to find peril quite well enough on my own. But it's not the sort of thing I've ever become accustomed to. Particularly the fighting, you see. Well, maybe after all this time, there will be time for something like that. What do you say to it? You tell Al that you'll be honoured to share an adventure with him. For you mercifully remind him that the adventure you two are currently embarked on has been of all your longest and most perilous. He laughs and nods. I owe you much gratitude for having twice saved me, he says. Of course, I might have gotten out on the keep. On the keep. Of the keep on my own, given enough time. But I have visions of that last place becoming my tomb, as it did for Corwith. One time I thought myself to be above the inconvenience of misfortune, but I now know better than that. I am, however, beginning to think there isn't anything that causes you to break stride, Sir Croakington. Well, I did break my stride for about 3 minutes when I was turned into a toad, but that was it. The broad tunnel you've been following abruptly ends at a tall stone arch. Beyond the arch, a wide passage extends out of the sight into dense gloom. Owl steps up to the arch and affectionately pats the inner edge of the structure. We're getting there, he says. There are a few twists and turns ahead of us after this hall, but we're more than halfway to the dome chamber, says Owl, peering along the length of the gloomy corridor beyond the arch. There's a rope that can be dropped down from the top of that chamber. It will bring us into the cellar of one of the Awabble's greatest allies, a man I consider a dear friend, a man who is also a friend of all and can be trusted, as can those would undoubtedly find in and about his establishment. Al turns to you and places his hand on your shoulder. You're on the last leg now, he says. Don't think about the pain in your legs or the ache in your back. We can rest a bit once we're out of these tunnels. That much I can promise you. The two of you start along the new passage, but have covered less than 20 yards when the sudden sound of something scraping along the stone-lined floor of the tunnel from behind causes you to spin around. Snake men? Could be snake men. The look of horror passes across Al's face as an unexpected and entirely unwelcome sight emerges from the gloom. Standing at the bow of the broad passage, their thick silver plates gleaming in the glow of the light, or at least a dozen armoured Tarzal. The mists of the far reptilians, holding up a long iron staff, is a tall, thin, grey-haired woman, the lower half of her face concealed behind a blackened wooden mask. You immediately recognise Tumit Halia, one of the two powerful sorceress sisters who served the Grand Sentry of Cardson, a woman who has, on more than one occasion, attempted to end your life. Owl groans, and you note that nearly all of the colour is drained from his face. The sudden appearance of Tumit Halo and her minions, in what has long been considered a safe path in and out of the city, where few movements go unseen. Seemed to have rattled him. The mass sorceress says nothing, but slowly raises her right hand. At once, in heed of our unspoken order, the arbiters all fan out, taking up positions on each of her flanks. You're somewhat surprised when Al's voice rings out, shattering the tense silence that fills the corridor. Even more surprised by the companion's sardonic tone. You haven't come to help us by any chance. The sinister sorceress, her hands tightly clutching her iron staff, looks first at Al and then at you. She steps forward, moving out of the legion of Tazar that surround her, and addresses the master thief. Thief with obvious derision. A rat like you be easy to swat aside, she says. But your companion will undoubtedly prove a more worthy challenge. What is it, Sir Croakington, that causes you to keep a company of a man so below your own stature? The company of a murderer. A man who I'm certain has plans to cut your throat once you exhaust whatever use you present to him. You immediately note a faint shimmering around Tothalia and suspect there is a magical field surrounding the sorceress, because of course there is. We cannot win here, whispers Al, keeping his gaze fixed on the sorceress. We can lose them in the tunnels beyond this passage. On my mark, turn and run. Head white at the end of the hall. On my mark. You are always a fool, says Tomatla, tapping the end of her iron staff on the floor at her feet as she glares at Al. But you're now a fool with no cause left for which to risk your worthless life. That's precisely the reason I shall not enjoy your death, as much as I would like to. Al's white hand slips into a pocket on his tunic, and the master thief rolls his eyes, making certain the sorceress bears witness to his imprudent gesture. The rabble is all but gone, continues the master sorceress, a word seemingly chosen with care to counter Al's brazen stance. A handful of hungry men crawling through the gutters, throwing stones, cursing the very air they swallow, insulting the closest thing this world has yet known to a living God, to the climb to all that he, for his grace and generosity, has provided. Every bit as insolent as the cowardly and backstabbing wench to whom they've unwisely sworn their allegiance. Tomithalia begins to raise her staff. Owl flashes you a wide-eyed glance. The master thief thrusts his right hand outwards, releasing a fistful of silvery dust that ignites to a blinding cloud of glowing sparkles. Ooh, thief tricks. In a matter of moments, the entirety of the passage in which you stand is consumed by the sparkling cloud of silver dust. Disorientated, you turn and move in what you sense is the opposite direction from where Tumitheia and her minions are standing. You immediately collide with Owl. Go this way, Sir Croakington, he shouts. Out of this cloud, let's go. You instinctively turn and dash along the passage at Owl's heels, springing into the unknown in a desperate bid to escape from Tumitheia and her armoured minions. After only a few seconds, you burst out of a cloud of sparkles and into the clear air of the corridor beyond. Turn white at the end, grasps Al as he glances back over his shoulder. After that, we'll be... Al's words are cut short as he stumbles and pitches forward, sprawling face first into the middle of the corridor. Your momentum carries you past your prone companion, who attempts to regain his feet, but stumbles and again collapses. As you stop and turn, preparing to go back to assist the fallen master thief, a chorus of sinister hisses rings out. The far end of the passage, emerging from the rapidly dissipated cloud of sparkles, are four silver armoured Tazol. striding into view directly behind the vicious reptilians is Termitalia. Termithra. Yeah, that'll do. That's probably how I'll say it in the future. Owl grimaces and tightly closes his eyes as he draws a deep, ragged breath. Immediately sense that he's suffering the effects of a potent but unseen attack. Termitalia clutches her thin iron staff as weaving, tackling tines of blue lightning erupt along the weapon's haft. Thick rings of crimson flame encircle the staff as she slowly lifts the ends of it off the floor. Her wide, wild eyes reflect the fire that dances around her bony hands. Owl turns to you and shouts above the war-rising din of the crackling flames that now weave the sorceress's iron staff. The desperation, clearly evident in the tone of his chosen words, fills you with a deep sense of dread. Run! Sir Croakington, run! You have them! You have them! Go! Run! I have what? In a very in the journals, I guess. Those are the most important thing. Very instant, Owl's wavering voice reaches your ears. Time itself seems to slow. An eerie, lonesome silence fills you. The passage, as your mind retreats to the outset of the adventure that has culminated in the terrible events now unfolding before your eyes. For a fleeting instant, even in the presence of the dire peril, you face the far end of the passage. Your thoughts drift back to the strange encounter you had in the courtyard of Sarngard Keep, the very outset of your adventures with Owl. Now, when this was first out, that could well have been perhaps a year ago. So it makes perfect sense that this would need to be, have your memory jogged about this, especially since it's very, very important. And even for me, it's been a couple of weeks. Recall the encounter with the precious, with precise clarity. Standing less than 5 yards from you in the gloom of the courtyard is a woman with a face that has been blackened by what appears is a toad. There is something eerily familiar about the face staring back at you from behind the grimy mask. You, without warning, your heart nearly skips two beats and exhales sharply as you make a sudden and startling revelation. You're staring at yourself. Your uncanny likeness, you now realise, bears equipment identical to your own, seems to recognise your surprised reaction and quickly speaks in a voice you know better than any other, your own. There isn't time. I have only moments. Listen to me. Continue to recall the encounter. With your mind still reeling, you struggle to comprehend what your mirror image is relating to you. You have to remember this, she says, stepping forward and touching your forearm, as if to assure you that she is not some elaborate illusion. When the time comes, do not save him. Do not go back. All will be lost. You must run. Owl must be left behind. Do you understand? I am you. Do you understand? Suddenly, your likeness cringes, as if in pain, and staggers back several steps. The magic is wearing thin. Do you understand? She cries, a voice adopting a frantic tone. With your thoughts still spinning, you manage a quick nod before saying that you will remember. Your thoughts turn to the present, and although only a split second has passed, you realise that the deadly attack is imminent. Termitalia, her cruel gaze fixed on Owl, holds up her long iron staff as tines of lightning and rings of crimson flame shoot down the length of her staff. Your companion now, his face twisted in a grimace that betrays the intense pain now ravaging his body, turns towards you and for a final time repeats his desperate plea. You have them! You have them! Run! Don't stop! Now, what I should do, after having been told by my own dying future self, which is like triple credible, I mean, dying man's words, very credible in nearly all circumstances, yourself, credible, and future self, even more credible. But I happen to know that you can make up for the inevitable death that choosing wrong here would cause. So, all right, I'm going to do it. I'm going to retreat along the corridor and try to help out. It's a bad idea. You really shouldn't do it, but I'm going to do it. Without a second thought, you rush back along the corridor, preparing to take hold of Owl and attempt to drag him to safety. He again screams and repeats his warning, screaming at you to turn and flee, before you can even consider his desperate plea. A deafening roar fills the air, and a massive wall of flame surges along the passage. Owl is immediately consumed by the wave of fire. Only a split second before Owl's deadly flames claim you as their second victim. Death is instantaneous. You have been killed. And that's what happens if you do what you've been explicitly told by many sources, all of them credible, not to do. The game itself stood up in front of you, checked you by the arm, says, don't do the stupid thing. It would be very stupid. But I went and did the stupid thing. And now you all know what happens if you do the stupid thing. So now none of you have to do the stupid thing anymore. Because you can just listen to this podcast and that will tell you what happens if you do the stupid thing. You die. And it's very quick. Your adventure has come to an end. Fear not, Sir Croakington. You need only click please continue below to proceed and restore your last saved game. Death has come for me. Sir Croakington. Alright. Did that keep my last? Did I at least keep my progress? I have 92% success, 12 victories and 13 attempts. I'm in the third order of adventurers, the order of master adventurers. I'm going to get a lot, unless something magically turns up, which I happen to know it will. I'm going to get much, much less adventure tokens at the end of this. Anyhow, dying, this does seem like a good place to stop. What with being dead and all. Anyhow, next time, we'll do it again and not be a stupid head from Stupid Town who is incredibly stupid even by the standards of Stupid Town. Stupid Town, in the county of Stupid, in the state of Stupidonia, Stupider, in the nation of Stupid Land, on the particularly stupid continent. Yes, that's what I was. But now you know that is how it is stupid. Anyway, so next time, back to Proving Ground 6, and a path less travelled, which says you have not yet completed after one attempt. So I'm just going to try it again and not be a stupid head. But until then, farewell, fellow adventurers.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.